Hi there folks, Paul here, signing in for another video. Hello and welcome back. Thank you so much for taking the time to join with me as we continue on our James Bible study series, wrapping up now chapter 4. And we are today, we're going to pick up from verse 13, though a quick recap as a reminder, if you haven't watched it recently, the previous video, the previous section here, James is talking about how we deal with one another and the manner of speech and how we are not to judge others. We are not to slander. We are not to speak evil of a brother or sister in Christ. No, absolutely not. For even with the best knowledge that we have, we do not have the knowledge. We do not have the wisdom of God who judges the heart also. And we're reminded, of course, of the royal law which James spoke about in chapter 2, love your neighbor as yourself. And this is what we need to do when we are dealing with strife, when we are dealing with dissension, when we are dealing with contentions in the church. And we know from the lessons of Jesus how we are to deal with such. Take it to them first, and then perhaps with two or three others. And then perhaps, if it's still unheard, to the church itself. And if it's still disregarded, then the troublemaker can be asked to leave. Absolutely. And these are, thankfully, not decisions that you and I need to make at that level. That is for our pastoral team. Absolutely, praise God. But based on that, all such contentions are driven by pride. They really are. Ego, driven by our own desire, I guess, to be right. And we look here now, again, perfectly in context of James chapter 4, verse 13. I might just read through to the end here. James says, "Come now, you who say, today or tomorrow, we will go to such and such a city, spend a year there, buy and sell, make a profit. Whereas you do not know what will happen tomorrow. For what is your life? Even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. But instead you ought say, if the Lord wills, he shall live and do this or do that. But you now boast in your arrogance." All such boasting is evil. This whole section, beginning right back in the beginning of verse 1, is speaking of things. In fact, if we look, come now, you who say, today or tomorrow we will go to such and such a city, spend a year there, buy, sell, make a profit. Verse 13, that actually reminds me of verse 3. You ask and you do not receive because you ask amiss that you might spend it on your pleasure. And there is a crisis. Can I just say this? This is a Paul thought, not necessarily doctrine. This is a crisis that I see in the prayer lives of so many now in the modern Western church, where prayers go unanswered. I wonder how much of it comes back to this. You ask and do not receive because you ask amiss, that you might spend it on your pleasures. And this is the constant theme throughout Scripture, that we miss God first. That's what we miss. It's touched on lightly, but not emphasized, I believe, anywhere near enough. And we read there, we read in verse 5, that the Spirit who dwells in us yearns jealously for what? For our heart, for our desires, for pride and preference in our lives to be first. And so this is the wrong way to plan. Even in the garden, Jesus said, "Not my will, but yours be done." And he wrestled with that, wrestling to the point of blood. But ego and pride. Truth of the matter is found in verse 14, "Whereas you do not know what will happen tomorrow." What is your life? I mean, what is your life? Is it even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away? And here where I live, our winters, they'll go below zero. And I might be in town and I pull up at the lights and I see the car in front of me and there's the exhaust coming out. And the exhaust coming out and it just disappears within a moment or two. That is our life also. It disappears within a moment or two. But instead we read verse 15, "You ought to say, if the Lord wills it." If the Lord wills it, we shall live and do this or do that. And that's what I want you to get from this message today. if the Lord wills it, and change your prayers. Now, if we look back into, let's see, Matthew 5, Matthew 6, coming into the Lord's Prayer, the very end of Matthew 5, I think it is, where Jesus says that when we come to ask things of the Father, he already knows it. And so I find myself in my natural mind thinking, well, what's the point then of even asking? But we must ask, and then we see in the Lord's Prayer, Matthew 6, your will be done. So here, this is the manner in which I now pray. If I have a need, and I search my heart and say, Father, I believe that this is of your will. That's the first thing first. I have to believe that it is of his will. From Scripture is how I make such judgment in myself. But then I say, Father, this is my prayer. This is my petition for me, for my family, for another, whatever it may be. This is my prayer. I know you know it already. So I pray, Lord, this is my desire. But if you have something better in mind planned for me, then I pray that that come to pass, even if it is different to what I am praying. I pray, Lord, your will be done. And then my faith steps in and says, oh, whatever the answer, God's will be done. Hallelujah. And I'm good with that because I trust my Lord and I trust my Savior and I am now his. Too many of our prayers, I think, are spent on temporal things. Things that pass away. You know, we live, we work, we strive as if it all has meaning. But without the eternal focus, it really has none. And I run a business of my own. We're in our 25th year now as I record this video. I wasn't always a follower of Christ. I believed, but I was by no means a follower. Certainly not being discipled as I am now. But I now daily look for opportunities to share Christ. Even had one just this past week where a customer of mine of many, many years came to me last year with a project that she wanted some help with, and we put together the framework of it, but then we had to pause because of illness. Now, I have no idea where this lady's heart lies in terms of the things of God. No idea, no clue whatsoever. But I prayed. And I said, Father, what can I send her? Maybe something from the Psalms. And so did. Sent her something from the Psalms of encouragement in Christ or in God's love for her. And healing and peace and rest, and that he can have everything in control for her if she will just follow him. And receive back a very heartfelt thanks for a beautiful message. And now I pray for her. But in my business, I will do that. And I will take that stand, even if it means losing a customer. And it has happened. Don't get me wrong. It has happened. We've got to have eternal focus. I don't know God's plan for this lady. But I know my part was just to share that. So whether you're employed or not, self-employed or not, I would urge you to do the same and have a Christ-centered focus in your mindset, and that you would build up a pattern of prayer for those who are in your circle, not just leaving them in hopelessness, as Scripture says that before Christ we had no hope. Do not leave them there. Be Christ in the workplace. Don't be like fairy floss. I'm going through my notes. Don't be like fairy floss. The vapor that's come and that's gone. Momentarily sweet. Gone in an instant. Verse 16. But now you boast in your arrogance. All such boasting is evil. And there it is. Pride. The root of it all. Pride. For the self-employed, it's pride. Yes, I can do this. Oh, God will bless me so I can bless others. Yes, pride. Sometimes it's unworthiness, the complete opposite. For the lowly employed, we might say. Unemployed. Not in Christ. No, not in Christ. Of value, that is you. Oh, with incredible value. That is you. And you will find that value here in Scripture. But we'll finish off now, chapter 4, verse 17. Therefore, here it is again, therefore, to him who knows to do good and does not do it, to him it is sin. This is the sin of omission. We forget about this one, we omit it. And we're all guilty of this one. Oh boy. How often do we hear a brother or sister in Christ who is in need, but we don't do? And James addresses this. Even faith without works is what? Dead. I'm going to finish off with a story. I'm sure you've heard this before. If not, you'll enjoy it for the entertainment value. It's a story about four different people. They were named Everybody, Somebody, Anybody, and Nobody. Let me just read this. There was an important job to be done, and everybody was sure that somebody would do it. Anybody could have done it, but nobody did it. Somebody got angry about that because it was everybody's job. But everybody thought anybody could do it, but nobody realized that everybody wouldn't do it. It ended up that everybody blamed somebody when nobody did what anybody could have done. It certainly fits the bill, doesn't it? If we see someone in need, we need to reach out to them. Love your neighbor as yourself. To him who knows to do good and does not do it, it is sin. Folks, it's all about that heart's attitude. I had this discussion with someone just this past day or two. It's passing conversation. It's all about the heart. This new covenant in Christ, where the law is now written on our hearts. We've got to listen to it, folks. We need to heed the urging of the Spirit to put God first in all things and to ask of His will and to seek and to desire His will. And I love it. I can't remember which of the Psalms, but David prayed, Lord, teach me of your will. That's a good prayer. That's a beautiful prayer, don't you think? All right, folks, we're going to leave it there. Finishing off chapter 4. We'll come back with chapter 5. God bless. I pray for your week. I pray that you would seek God's will in your life. And this is not for you to do a thing. This is for you to desire. I don't want you to get this confused with, oh, what is God's will for my life? I don't know. No, it's your desire in everything. It's the Royal Commission. Go into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature in every nation, baptizing them in the Father, the Son, the Holy Ghost. That is God's will for you. He has actually put you somewhere. And now you need to be Him for those in that area, as we spoke about today. That is His will for you. Instead of saying, I think I will go here and I will do this and I will do that. No, if God wills it, I will do this. I will do that. You just need to put Him first in everything in your life. Because I would bet that's not the case at the moment for most people listening to this right now. How do I know? Been there, done that, got that t-shirt too. Got a whole row of t-shirts back over there. All right, folks, God bless. Talk soon. Bye-bye.